Thank you, everybody. September 3rd, study session before council meeting, and most of us are here except for Councilmember Kate Bishop and Councilmember Teresa Taylor and Councilmember Rebecca Sara. All of them will probably show up when they can. We're going to begin with Mr. Burnett, our city administrator.
Cool. Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, Council. Good afternoon, Council. So, Circa and I will go through this together. I'm going to do the first half or so, and then she'll do the second half. As always, informal, so ask questions. Slide. So, what we're here for, or what we're wanting to do, is talk about City Hall funding, and we're kind of intentionally not talking about where City Hall or Council Chambers or Court could be, just because when we start trying to solve everything, it gets really sticky. And so talking about funding, because we feel that that's going to be something that is going to be in common with just about all of our different scenarios. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the problem statement, kind of lessons from Old Main, staff assumptions going into this. Then I'm going to talk about external funding sources, and Circa is going to talk about internal funding sources. So we move on to the next slide, problem statement. As you all know, we're in a facility that wasn't designed for these uses. We're actually in two facilities that weren't designed for these uses. Our comprehensive plan identifies the need to replace or expand the facilities by 2027, which means if you're working backwards, really starting pretty soon to get where we need to go. Court security and space concerns in this facility are pretty significant. Our judge is very concerned about our ability to continue to hold court and especially hold trials in here, especially when we do have those relatively rare cases, maybe three or four times a year, when we actually have trials where we could have kind of cross contamination going on. It's just not a good facility, and of course security, as we keep on seeing. Too often, we think that we're okay. Everybody thinks they're okay until they're not. And then City Hall, we're starting to bust up against our overall space where that facility only has a certain amount of capacity. We have a picture there in the lower right. Our public works inspector is right next to a bathroom, which is a closed door, and it is a fairly well-used bathroom. And when it's poorly used, he goes out into the field. So it's something that we do need to look at. We can probably squeeze a few more people in there. We're not saying that we're absolutely, to the gills, but we would need to do some improvements in order to accommodate them. Next slide. So lessons learned from Old Main. What we got out of this is downtown location is preferred. That we felt that council was pretty clear that they would like co-location of court, council, and City Hall if that was possible. Maybe not a deal breaker, but that would be optimum as far as efficiency and possibly bringing down costs. Depending on the specific scenario, maybe there's a way to make it work where we aren't co-located, but if we had an ideal scenario, we took from council that co-location was ideal. And then again, that a purpose-built building was preferred. This was maybe something kind of more at the edges, where when we were listening to the discussion about Old Main and the fact that it was not purpose-built, there might have been some inefficiencies that we would need to deal with as far as its layout. Whereas if we did have a purpose-built building, we could probably address some of those things going in to make sure that people are located close to one another, that it was designed for a city hall. Again, not saying that, let's say, like Rite Aid became available. We could make Rite Aid work, most likely, even though it wasn't purpose-built. But there are only so many relatively large, in fact, there's one, it's Rite Aid, large-ish buildings that are open and free span that you could really design as you wish on, in the interior, as opposed to another big building like the Carnation Building, where it has so many different, offices or storage spaces. We couldn't really make it function as an office building. Moving on to the next slide. Another general assumption is even if we started right now, we're probably about 3 years out from occupancy. Again, we could be looking at some sort of interim improvement, but since we don't have a building yet, we need to come up with building plans, which takes some time where we have to hire an architect or a designer to do it. We need to go through our own permit process, which could vary depending on its location, or would vary depending on its location. And then we would be looking at the construction that would take, more than likely, you know, if we were going into an existing, a year, maybe a little bit less. If it's new, we might be looking at a couple of years, depending on site work and other things. Either way, we're not going in tomorrow. And then the last one there are the costs aren't likely to be less than $10 million. You know, there are some of those unicorns out there, like Blaine was able to get into theirs in a really kind of unique situation. Linden was able to get into theirs, but it's now 10 years gone by now, where, gosh, you know, Linden got in about $5 or $6 million. Could we do that, especially with inflation and other things? You know, I think that we need to assume that we're going to be spending at least $10 million and then be happy if we can spend less. But at this point, making an assumption that we can get in for much less than that, I think that we might be harming future decision makers as far as needing to scramble at the back end. Moving on to the next slide. What we haven't done, really with any of our facilities, we've done a good job of repurposing our facilities, but we've kind of found ourselves behind the eight ball as far as having the funding strategy. Sometimes that can work for us, where we can show that there's some urgency, and through a capital campaign, such as for the library, we can get the community to come out in support of it. Compared to the library, City Hall spaces for us overpaid bureaucrats isn't really a sexy idea for folks to vote to assess themselves taxes for. You know, perhaps court is something that folks understand. It is something that we need. The council chambers, that kind of falls in the middle of the two. Anyway, it's something that we think that a funding plan should be established going in, because that way we can rely on that and maybe improve upon it while we're looking at the overall design. We feel strongly that the funding needs to be placed on long-term sustainable revenues, and we're going to get into that quite a bit more as we go forward, where there's always a temptation to use one-time revenues and anticipate that we're going to be able to rely on those, that they're not volatile over a 20-year period. That has not proven to be the case, where if you look at our 20-year funds that do sales tax, solid waste, that sort of thing, they do go up and down. And if we are going to go into most likely 20 years of debt service, if we go out to the bond market, that's something that they look at too, where, you know, what is our ability to pay, and are we going to be able to sustain that over the 20-year period? And then once a funding plan is established, our hope is that design could commence, and that, again, we could kind of reassess that funding plan as we go forward, where maybe we can do better as far as our cost efficiencies. Maybe we can bring in external monies that we were hoping we could get but can't rely on, where we don't believe that a funding plan needs to necessarily say, hey, you know, we have tied ourselves to this weight and now we're going to follow it right down to the bitter end or bottom. We think that as long as we can establish something that we can live with, we can continue to amend it moving forward. So the next slide, and I apologize that you can't see it, it looked good on my screen, but so a potential realistic funding scenario. Right now we're about the height of the market. We're in a very healthy economy. In fact, historically, long-lived healthy economy, which is really scary because there's never been an economy that was not followed by a recession or a contraction of some sort. We're starting to see some indicators that a recession might be around the corner. Some folks are saying 2021. Who knows? It could be earlier than that. It could be later than that. But at some point, we are going to have a contraction in the market. So planning and making possibly tough decisions when we have a really good market might set us up so that we can have our design done, so that we can go out to bid when and if the economy does start to contract. Because what we've seen historically is one of the first things that is hit by the economy is the construction industry, which is ramped up right now. And I mean, they've ramped up for this big economy that we're seeing. And if we can time it right when that starts to contract, we're expecting that we're going to start seeing some of the costs to build decrease. And if we have a shovel-ready project, we might be able to hit them on the way down where we can get a good price for it. Depending on the type of debt that we incur, as you saw with the wastewater treatment plant, we don't need to start paying that loan off until we have occupancy. If we're able, and who knows, if we're able to strategize something where we can do something similar with the new facilities, we might be able to be spending the money for construction but not paying off our debts until the economy starts going back up again, where then if we do concentrate a little bit more on internal sources, the community might have a better means to pay, rather than, again, making tough decisions to ask the community to fund it at the depths of a recession. It's bad juju. So hopefully that's a strategy that we might look at pursuing. Next slide, please. So as I said, we can't rely on, this is a little bit different. We really can't rely on a lot of the external sources such as grants or loans for the majority of costs. We may be successful at this, but we can't assume that we can go and apply for a grant from the state or from the federal government or whomever and get it. And if we continually wait until we can get grants, we end up kicking the can down the road again, where the costs are going to probably only increase over time. And then they will increase over time. Over a 20-year period, it's going to cost more to build this than it does now. The best time to build something is always yesterday. We do have a number of volatile revenue sources that are appropriate for one-time targeted costs. So Burlington is a really good example of a jurisdiction that in the 90s and early 2000s all of a sudden started getting a whole bunch of retail sales tax, right? They got the mall, they got the outlet mall, they have all the car dealerships, they have Costco, and they thought, oh gosh, you know, this is never going to end. But then retail changed and the recession happened, and they found that they had leveraged their volatile revenues against debt. And so when they started to see a market contraction, and Burlington, which relies so heavily on sales tax, suddenly saw that change, they had to scramble to figure out what they were going to do to just pay off their debt, not even including the day-to-day salaries, you know, vehicles, that sort of thing. So that's a big lesson learned for other jurisdictions, because I think everyone used to think, hey, you know, if your population grows and if you have retail, that's going to always be that golden goose. But what we've seen with the rise of Amazon is that's not the case anymore. And it's a kind of scary thing to rely on sales tax, especially when you have these obligations for debt. But that the stable revenue sources are appropriate for the recurring debt service. And again, Sirka is going to get into what those stable revenue sources might be. Next slide, please. When we're talking about external funding sources, one of the things that we saw with the wastewater treatment plan, it's the same for City Hall and Council Chambers, is that these are overtly intended to be paid for by the local community. When we go to Olympia and we say, hey, you know what, we need a new wastewater treatment plant or new City Hall or new council chambers, they say, great, you need to ask your citizens to pay for that. Because everyone has a wastewater treatment plant and a City Hall and a council chambers. And unless we're really unique as far as our plan, it's hard to really stand out from the rest. And of course, all the legislators are very well aware that if Ferndale gets their stuff paid for, everyone else is going to come and say, hey, we want what they had. So that's something that they, Sharon Schumach, within her first couple weeks of being a legislator, already knew that, where she's like, oh, you're asking me to give you money for something that you should have done yourself. And she was the nicest one that we spoke to about that, where a number of the other ones were just like, no, this is something that you pay for yourself. So that was difficult, but they'd obviously been approached on those things before. So because of that, there are a few dedicated funding sources for these projects. There might be some that are more desirable than others. You know, if we went LEED, Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design, maybe there might be some funding out there. If we can demonstrate that this could be a base of operations, such as for an EOC or a shelter or something like that, or if we have mixed use, that might set us apart. One of the things that was somewhat attractive with Old Main was that it had that historic element, but even then, what we kept on hearing was, yeah, you and 12 other people, because what we're seeing is a lot of the post-war schools and other facilities are being repurposed now, so it's a kind of dime a dozen where everybody likes the idea of repurposing these buildings, and everybody wants money from the state for those purposes. Next slide, please. So, external funding sources, and I have just a couple slides here because there really aren't money. A CURB grant is intended for those projects that would kind of accelerate private economic development. We were able to get this $500,000 grant, matched grant for the library, because we were able to demonstrate that it was an anchor, where the library does have a lot of foot traffic going in and out. And conceivably, you go to the library and then you go to the coffee shop, or you go to the library and you're kind of running your errands. We talked about this a little bit with Old Main. We don't get that much in and out traffic with City Hall. With court we do, and probably for council chambers sometimes we do, where folks might want to eat before or after they come to the show. But we can't really, you know, assume that's the case. They're also going more and more to low interest loans than grants over the last few years. As I said, it does require a match. And recently their emphasis has been on the extension of information infrastructure, especially to rural areas, and then utility extensions, where those have a clear economic benefit connected to it. Next slide, please. One of the major ones is legislative assistance, and this kind of takes two forms, where our local representatives do have a little bit of discretionary money that they can throw at their local jurisdictions. The Pioneer Pathways was an example. The $1 million that we got for the wastewater treatment plant this year was another example. Where it's small, I think it's right around $1 million. This is, you know, a kind of way that they can say, okay, you guys get to be the incumbent and show your local voters that you appreciate them, and kind of dole some money out. But if we're looking at a larger appropriation, that does need to go more to the, as part of the state budget. And that's more difficult, because then you're having to get really a majority. You do have to get a majority to pass the budget. So you need to demonstrate to others that Ferndale stands out from the rest, and that a city hall or council chambers in another district doesn't warrant the same thing. Again, they're looking to avoid precedent, and what they frequently have said, especially quite frankly the more conservative of our legislators, are, isn't this rewarding failure to plan ahead, and which they really don't like. Next slide, please. External funding sources. So we can't ignore that Ferndale High School is going to be rebuilt. That's going to cost a lot of money to rebuild it. Depending on how much they actually spend on taxable construction, we're estimating possibly up to $1.5 million in one-time revenues to the city. Now, again, one time, it's not sustainable, but it is something when we're talking about a funding package that we could use, depending on when we start incurring that, as a down payment or to reduce some of our recurring payments back to the bond company or whomever. So having a slug of money never hurts. Next slide, please. We also have Whatcom County, which is continuing to talk about a new jail. It sounds like this one might not be in Ferndale, but as they talked last time, it may be that the way that they present this to the voters and to the local jurisdictions is that while Whatcom County would get the majority of any additional tax revenue, that the local jurisdictions would get a pro rata share that they could use for law and justice facilities or purposes. That is something that the city could look at. It's not going to be $10 million, and even if it was $10 million, we could only assign those costs to the law and justice component of the facility, but it is something that could be utilized. Moving on, nonprofit grants or loans. This is a really iffy one. I think that we would be aggressive in this, but you know, going to, you know, take your pick, anywhere from you know, Microsoft to BP to Philips and saying, hey, does anything about our design interest you? You know, going to Intalco and saying, we'll put aluminum cladding on it. You know, who knows? We might be able to get some money. We're not going to get $10 million for it. They might pay for a sculpture or something like that. But there are grants that we're going to be looking at anyway. Emergency generators, possibly one-time computer purchasers, you know, maybe, you know, a new setup for our technology in here. We might be able to get something, but it's not $10 million. And then another one of my last slides, I think, is second to last slide. Looking at energy efficient development might come with a higher price tag up front, but it might reduce the operating costs moving forward. There's sometimes grants for this, or you know, assistance where if we do go in a direction, maybe we put solar panels on something, perhaps we can see some of those initial costs amortized or eaten up or reduced through some sort of revenue source. And again, you know, the cost of heating something like this, it's inefficient because we're also heating upstairs too. We might be able to find more efficient cost to own. And then so my last slide, kind of my conclusion, is no matter what, okay. Oh, I'm sorry.
I'll let him finish.
We do expect to be aggressive in seeking external funding. There are probably other things out there that we don't know about, but it's hard to ask someone to fund $100,000 of a $10 million project if we don't have a funding source for the other $9.9 million. People want to put something over the top, and that's really something that we saw with the library, right? Where when we were down to the last little bit, that's when the community was able to come forward and put us over the top. That's probably something similar to what we'll see here. And again, it's a highly competitive environment. It's tough to be a jurisdiction nowadays because there are a lot of different inputs. There are a lot of different limits on what we can assess ourselves for. So that's my part of it.
I was just going to ask about your slide about LEED and you know, potential LEED funding or grants or whatever. Correct me if I'm wrong, though, but in the state of Washington, when public buildings are built now by state law, they must meet a certain minimum LEED standards. Is that correct? So assuming that we build a brand new city hall, being a public building built in the state of Washington, it will have to meet certain LEED requirements.
Well, and I'm not sure if the state requires it. We do require, and the state might. I haven't researched that part of it, but we're certainly trending in more energy efficient.
I know that anything that's built at the college, at Western, Lake Hall, have to meet minimum LEED standards as a requirement of state funding.
That is a requirement of state funding. Okay. That might be the caveat, yes.
Okay. Yeah.
So again, setting us apart from the field, a little bit difficult.
More questions?
I was just going to make a comment on this slide, the one-time computer purchases. Isn't there something with the cable? We were charging an extra that we can charge.
Yes, we passed PEG funding as part of the Comcast agreement.
Right, that is a possibility for the computers for new buildings.
Councilmember Burch?
Can you tell me what the total cost for the library was? That was ground up.
I know that it was over five.
Yeah, I think it's, somebody knows, I think it's five.
That kind of sounds right to me. Yeah. Yeah.
Not including it. You guys put how much you put into air conditioning last year, but it was five.
Right. And so if you assume, 3-4% escalator, that was 6 years ago when we were really incurring those costs. And it's probably a little bit smaller than what we would be looking at combined. So we're kind of right back in that ballpark. I don't know if that was the land development cost.
Yes.
And also, you said we're going to get school reconstruction fees. Is that the impact fees and permit fees? Or?
No, so that's the sales tax on the construction materials.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Are we going to get anything for impact fees and permitting fees?
It depends on what their proposal is that comes in, where if they are simply taking the 1,200 students that currently exist on that site and putting them here, there's really no net increase. So we're not going to get 100% of what we would be getting. Perhaps we could make the argument that because a new state law, kids can't drive their friends anymore, whereas they used to be able to carpool. And so one of the major things that they're doing is increasing their parking capacity because more kids are driving individual cars.
When did that pass?
A few years back. The other thing, though, is their hours of operation are not during our peak. So they kind of avoid. It would be more likely through a SEPA that we would be able to kind of incur, you know, and get some additional compensation. It might be more in kind. They need to improve X or Y than monetary.
And just a comment on the impact fees, that we wouldn't be able to use impact fees for the building of City Hall. So there are traffic impact fees for the traffic.
And actually, on that, we did ask where Issaquah and Sequim have adopted a facility impact fee where they actually do charge development for City Hall, Council Chambers, all of that. The interesting thing is Sequim, Issaquah's city manager moved to Sequim and did that. So I asked MRSC, also asked Dan, and like, okay, so how did they do that? They haven't got caught yet, I guess. Because then I emailed him and I said, so can you tell me more about this? And, you know, the state authorization for it, and just crickets. Because for impact fees, it's very clear you can charge for parks, roads, schools, fire. I think those are the four. And water and sewer, but that's connection fees. Yeah.
Well, what he's doing is exercising what we call the home rule for cities, which is the theory that cities have a right to do any number of things unless they're forbidden to, rather than we can do things the state tells us we can do. And so he's pushing that, and good for him.
Good for him. But if you get sued and caught, that's where we're talking about those sustainable revenue sources, because that might all of a sudden dry up.
And I want to quickly mention, you know, anything that's delivered in Ferndale is sales tax applied. So a whole timber package for your house that's built, sales tax in every tubeway for it. There are two other projects that will help the city with one-time revenues. Our wastewater treatment plant, $25 million, $29 million, and the Thornton connection, some 20-some million dollars. So there's some extra sales tax dollars one time that will come in for those two large projects, just like the high school.
Okay, so the internal funding sources. So we're looking at probably, if it's $10 million project, we're looking at maybe approximately $800,000 for an annual payment. For some reason, I'm recalling a $14 million. If that's the case, it's $1.1 million annual payment. And that's based on the bond market, and that's at 4%. Right now, it's a little bit lower, so those annual payments would be a little bit lower. And this is, you know, if we get a low interest rate loan, then of course the payments will be even lower than that. So these are the internal funding sources that we can consider. There's a facilities capital reserve fund that we have, solid waste fund, a REIT, the real estate excise tax, the first quarter percent, and then the second quarter percent, utility tax, and property tax, or bank capacity. So we'll go through each one of these. We have a facilities capital reserve fund, and currently we have $104,000 in it. That is specifically for facilities, and I would recommend taking that for this project. It doesn't really do much for the annual payment, but it's at least something. Solid waste fund. Question?
Nope.
Solid waste fund. Right now, we have $500,000 in annual debt payments, and that is ongoing. There is a maturity date that spans to, I think, 2035. So that is committed every year. We also transfer to, we have a LEF 1 retiree fund. We have three retired police officers who we pay all of their medical expenses. If they go into a retirement home, we pay for the rest of their life, the retirement home payments. So we want to build up that fund, and that has been coming out of solid waste. We transfer to streets for street projects. for street maintenance operations. We do that every year, and also to the general fund. So this is one of those. It's not supportive of ongoing debt. The solid waste fund in 2015 increased substantially, and we know that is the building, the development that's been going on. I mean, it increased, it jumped, and I don't have the number in front of me, but probably by a million. We receive like 2.3 million right now. That's our budget, I believe, for 2019. And also, if you think about the housing market, solid waste has gone up, it's construction debris, and I was having this good conversation with Director Renz, and we were, he pointed out that not just construction debris, but when people move, we get rid of stuff. So every time you move, anybody moves, you know I go to the dump, you know, several times when I move, every time I move. So that's also part of that, solid waste. And if the economy turns, we go into a recession, which is, you know, that's probably, it's all over the news, and we're in uncharted waters right now. This solid waste fund, we will not be receiving as much money as we do now. Any questions on the solid waste?
Although I recall a number of conversations about the solid waste fund, that it's a lot more recession-proof than a lot of other things. Isn't that correct? So, I mean, it has less volatility tied to economic conditions than a lot of our other funds, like traffic impact fees and those other things, because when the economy starts to slow down, people still have to have their garbage collected, but they may not build a new house. Correct?
Correct. Okay. But we did see that substantial jump, and it is, that definitely we can probably say that that's from the development.
Right.
But yes, we
so
will.
So we would see maybe a leveling off of growth, but not necessarily a decline in revenues.
We experienced, when I was, you know, I headed up for 20 years, I was with Skagit County Solid Waste, and during the economic downturn, we did see a reduction in revenues, and rather substantial, about 15% reduction in revenues. So, you know, over a period of years where we were experiencing periods of growth, then went into recession, we actually did go down in revenue. So, while it's recession resistant, it's not recession.
Right.
So, you know, you are correct. I mean, just because we're going through a downturn doesn't mean that you're not still throwing away your kitchen garbage. But at
right.
the same time, you're not going out and buying a new sofa, or you're not going out and buying, you know, a new mattress, and you're deferring a lot of those larger purchases that are, you know, kind of waste generation events. Like I was talking with Circa, is that, you know, every time a person moves, we build a new house, and, you know, it's like the person goes into the new house, well, they left one behind, but then somebody moves into it, somebody moves into the apartment, and they move. So it's kind of a cascading effect with everyone that you have this, you know, bulk generation of garbage every time somebody moves. And so the home sales are a big driver behind the revenue that you get from solid waste. And when those home sales trail off, that market does come dry.
Another reason that it did go up is we have the library bond, and we increase it every year by a certain percentage. A small percentage, and the tax is now, it's at 14.5%, and in 2024 it will go back to 14%, so there will be somewhat a drop from that too. So.
Council voted to sunset that one part of it. That's always test for the library.
So then we have the real estate excise tax, and currently we have $218,000 committed to current annual debt payments. Our budget for this year on receiving funding is $350,000. That's not that much when you have $218,000 committed to debt payments. And again, this is one of those where if we go into a recession, we won't be receiving that much. And again, we saw in 2015, we saw a jump in this revenue source. So And I had, and we are on target this year for receiving the $350,000. Then RE2, this is similar. We get the exact same for RE2, it's a quarter of a percent. And right now we are planning, did you want to talk about taking the RE2 for Thornton and other capital projects? We've been kind of saving up in this fund so that we can fund Thornton and other capital projects. And on top of it, we really can't use this this money for City Hall. There are laws on it where we can take a small portion, like 25% of it, to put into City Hall. So that's pretty limited. So it's like $87,000 out of the $350,000. And if that goes down, it's even a smaller amount.
REIT 1 has restrictions as well. Are they similar, or is it a little bit more?
REIT 1 you can use for City Hall, okay, for administrative facilities. But REIT 2 has that okay. So.
Yeah. And so that's the general thoughts with the prohibitions on REIT.
With the prohibitions on REIT 2 and the available uses for that, Thornton is kind of the perfect place to put those funds in.
Spend.
We also transfer into streets. This year we have $200,000 going into streets, and we have $175,000 going into our water fund. So there's part of it. Utility tax. Our current rate is 9%, and that's on the water bill, water sewer storm bill. Right now, we're doing a rate study, and we will be increasing the rates. I would not recommend increasing the utility tax. We will be receiving more money. So the utility tax is transferred into the general fund, the 9%. Okay? So that comes through the water fund, and the utility bills are taxed, and then we receive it in the general fund. We will be receiving more money because the rates will be going up, but I was looking at it, it's approximately $1 million the first year or two. That's only $90,000 more for the general fund, so that's not really a substantial amount of revenue to be putting into our debt payment for the City Hall. So. Any questions on the utility tax?
It would finance one of those millions.
Pardon?
$90,000 a year,
right,
would finance one minimum.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Not recommending or not.
Right. But we probably wouldn't want to raise the tax on that. Okay, so then we have our property tax. We have a bank capacity of $1.4 million. That we can take at any time. This is a stable revenue source. We go into debt for 20 years and we will be able to pay it. We will always receive this. Recession or not, this does not go away. So I'll just go a little more into debt. So this is what we currently have, and I was asked to bring a comparison. I think we've talked about Linden before. The valuation, the assessed value for Ferndale is $1.5 billion. Linden has a $1.8 billion assessed value. Right now, our levy rate is the 0.76. Linden has a 1.79. And the tax that we are receiving this year is the $1.2 million, and Linden's is the $3.2 million. If we include bank capacity, our levy rate goes to 1.66, and this is per thousand assessed value. And we would be receiving a total tax of $2.6 million. So any questions on that part of it?
One of the reasons Linden's is different, they have their own fire department.
They do.
Yeah, so the citizens of Ferndale are paying for a fire department, but it's a separate department. Mm-hmm.
So then if we, this is kind of a breakdown of this year, if we took the 1% tax increase, it would go from
the 1.222 to 1.229 just with the 1% tax increase. And if we added the bank capacity, there's the 1.4 million. Our levy rate would change to 1.6 compared to Linden's 1.7. And this is what, if you took the full bank capacity, this is the additional tax per year per the assessed value. So if your house is, the assessed value is $300,000, it would be an additional $268 per year. So you can just see the different ranges on here. $250,000, that's $223 per year. So, and okay, any questions on those?
Councilmember Burge.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry, can we get a copy of that PowerPoint?
Sure. Okay. We'll have it on the website, too.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Another thought here is that right now we're not in a recession. And if this was increased, you know, the $223 per year, and you took the full bank capacity, and this is what people would be paying. You know, when if we don't take it and we build the city hall and we use other funding that isn't stable, then you have to raise the property tax to pay your debt. And we have to pay our debt no matter what. So the time to, you know, not raise taxes is during a recession, but you would be forced into it if we went forth and took it out of something that really wasn't stable. Another thought is that if you did take it now and we could get all the other funding in and we could put some money away to get that down payment and we received other funding, you can always give it back in the sense that you can lower the taxes or you don't take the 1% increase for several years and it just goes back into bank capacity. And during a recession, what a great thing. Don't take the 1% and give people a break during the recession. So there's another way to think about it.
Director Salmon, I have a question about the bond rate. If you have a stable funding supply for your debt, like property tax is the most stable, it really
yeah.
is. People eventually do pay it.
Yeah.
Is that a better interest rate because of that mechanism? Does the bond market favor that?
The bond market definitely favors that. They look at it, they see where your funding source is. It can even depend on whether we get the funding or not and what that rate, yeah. So it they will look at that. If it's a revenue source that's up and down, it's not very favorable. And the investors won't be that interested.
More questions from council or staff about this?
We do have one last slide on there, and it is really just conclusions. And, you know, we will send this out to council, and it will be on the website, but these are kind of our assumptions and what we believe are factual, and we'd really like to hear from council if you disagree, where we do believe that there is a clear need for newer expanded city facilities. We believe that delaying a funding plan will increase costs because we're going to be building later on and costs always increase over time. As our finance director just said, bond underwriters will rely on a dependable revenue stream, that these facilities are typically funded by the local community, that by utilizing property tax or another sustainable source, the city will be able to ensure funding. We will still aggressively seek outside funding, but that also this council is in really a unique situation perhaps, where you do have the ability to establish a funding plan now, where the council that is seated next year could concentrate on the design and keeping those costs low and other cost efficiencies. You know, you guys are unique for any number of different ways. but the timing is, I don't know that we've had a timing such as this before.
Ready for a break?
You guys were asking about finding this on the website. If you go to the finance department page, you can find all the PowerPoints from all the lovely finance workshops that Director Solomon has put on this year, and it's all there and available along with the link to the audio.
Very good. We've got about 15 minutes. Thank you, Council.